in our studio is the great Adam Carolla.
Great to be here, fellas.
Who's recently woken up.
Yeah. Oh, no, 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 no. I've been
up. Did you do the morning show
thing? Yeah, I did the whole thing, yeah.
Very exciting.
Nice. That's got to be
what's more awesome
among the highlights
that, right?
of your trip.
Well, you know, it's always it's funny. We did all the morning. Well, you know, all the radio guys are fairly dejected. You know what I mean? I don't know why radio sports radio hasn't suffered like regular terrestrial radio, or at least the guys who do the morning shows
and all.
You're suffering.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're bleeding out slowly, but you don't have gaping wounds, and you're not writhing in pain. There's not a piece of rebar coming out of your side, right? Like, these guys are so... radio guys are the most angry guys in the world. And it's always funny, because when they're on the air, they're like, hey, 722, 22 after 7 o'clock, news, traffic, weather, news. Ace Man's in studio. We'll be back right after this REO Speedwagon superset. And then they go, oh, Jesus Christ, that's killing me, man. Who'd you work with over there in L.A.? Jack Sauer. Ah, that a-hole. Ah, I hate him. Yeah, I worked with that dude. Everyone worked with someone. They all hate him. They're all miserable. This sucks, man. What's going on? And then they come back. Ah, it's 8:27 after the hour. News, traffic, weather, and more REO Speedwagon coming up at the top of the hour. Yeah, tears of a clown.
You know, and it's, see, they always tell you, aspire for morning radio. And we're like, why?
Mm-mm.
Why would anyone want a 3:15 a.m. alarm?
Don't do it.
That doesn't.
How long did you do that?
Also, I did it for 3.5 years, but I'm convinced it's like working in a coal mine. Like 3 years in a coal mine will take 22 years off a man's life.
Absolutely,
it's not natural.
You did so 3.5 years after Stern. You took
right.
Stern's slot
right.
in half the country, or?
Yeah, I guess
let's talk
the
about
Western
radio executives
part.
And their thought process there.
Yeah, let's do that.
First of
That's
all,
good.
Here, they didn't air you.
Right.
We got David Lee Roth.
Sure, because, you know, when you think Texas, you think David Lee Roth. You think about a guy in spandex with no shirt on.
Well, when you think radio talent, you think
doing
David
a
Lee Roth.
If you've ever
kick,
heard
yeah,
your show for 5
extensions.
Minutes and his show for 5 minutes, I just think as a radio executive, if any, you know, everybody likes, don't radio executives like the focus group and let you turn the dial to see what you like and
sure.
dislike? So I can't imagine they ever gave that to a focus group. He was horrible.
Yeah.
That was the worst thing I've ever heard on the, like, he well, was a fairly entertaining guest when he was on Stern.
But he didn't have, also he didn't have reps, and you guys know whether you're talking sports or playing sports, it's kind of about the reps, especially radio. You
right.
need
oh,
to have 10 years in the
to
seat.
To have done something, yeah.
To have done something, whatever it is, and people just think, well, you
oh,
know.
Oh, he's David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
If half the people who ever bought one of his albums listened, he'll
yeah.
get huge ratings. That was
sure.
their thought process.
Right.
Same with a newspaper writer or something. Hey, let's give him a show if half
yeah.
his readers listen.
Right.
Which they don't.
A monkey could do radio.
Because
just put anyone in there.
Yeah, that's
matter.
The thing.
Well, originally it was going to be him and then Sammy Hagar in the Western States, and then the guy from Extreme was going to do the more. Was going to do the middle of the country. But then someone talked him out of that idea. No, I think they were hedging their bets. As I look at it now, they go, look, what are the chances all three of these guys, Rover, Roth, and Carolla, will all fail. See, I think if they didn't want to put all their nuts into my sack, as it were.
So they didn't put you across the country, or we didn't get you here. I guess you
yeah,
were.
Yeah, I was, you know, I don't know, Vegas
elsewhere.
And Phoenix and Seattle.
And from what I understand, you did very well.
Yeah, I did.
Got blown out. What?
Sure.
What was the whole? What's the story there? Because then
it's
I know all of a sudden.
Counterintuitive, if you think about it.
And
yeah.
it was. I think it was good for us personally, and I'm more worried about what affects me generally
sure.
because then we got you on a podcast and you're still continuing your podcast today but
sure.
what
we don't
went
have
wrong
to get up early to hear it
what happened there
well what happened it was I think a perfect storm although it's a perfect poop storm not a perfect storm and by the way the guys in the boat you know with George Clooney did they think that storm was so perfect I think they probably could have found some flaws in that storm but they say the perfect storm and then someone's dead
sure
there's nothing perfect about it was the economy was going
a light spring perhaps would
yeah.
be the perfect storm.
The economy was going into the tank. The radio stations were losing money, and then these portable people meters came out, and
yeah.
they basically figured out that music got the same as talk, but I don't really think they had them dialed in because Music is what's played at the mall, and music's what's played at the gas station, and so there's sort of music wherever you go, and they don't put talk. So anyone who walked through a mall with one of these personal or portable people meters, it was registering whatever the easy listening station was.
Sure.
So we did well, meaning the morning show did, but the rest of the station just dropped off the map when the personal people meters came out. So between the economy and the portable people meters, isn't that what they used to call the old Minnesota Vikings front four?
Yeah.
I believe it was
yeah.
people
meters. Yeah, no, believe me, kid. I know I've been in radio for almost 15 years. I know they're called the Carl Eller at least was one of the portable people eaters. So they just, everything just went in the toilet, and some bean counter said, you know what? It's cheaper just to pay everyone out, write everything off, start playing Lady Gaga and Call to Life. And that's what happened. And I'm not bitter about it. It's just a business decision. Everyone gets all personal about it. I got paid out. I'm fine. It was always my dream to get fired and then get paid out, actually.
Yeah, it seemed awesome.
Yeah, it did.
They had to pay the end of your contract for almost the whole year, right?
Yeah, I had, about 10 months left on my contract. Although there are these guys who get like 3 years.
That seems wonderful,
insane.
Doesn't it?
I know, and it's like you can't work. And that sounds like a dream. When I used to work construction, I'd have guys throwing themselves off of roofs just to get 40K and stay home for 6 months. Couldn't imagine what they would think of this.
All right, this is what I love about Adam Carolla, is that, and you're seemingly surrounded by a circle of friends in the business who all came up the same way most of us did, which is aspiring to be a radio dork or a TV dork or some multimedia hero.
Sure.
And then your story is nothing like that. So even though I kind of know your story because of your podcast, May I ask you to tell me about the black skier that put you where you are today?
Oh, okay. That was, Bobby McFerrin.
Yes.
Don't worry, get happy. Although I don't know how happy he was when he got the compound fracture of his fibula out on the ski slopes. But Bobby, what really caused my career was, I was working as a carpenter and a boxing instructor. And everyone laughs at most things I say. I mean, you know, when you're a comedian, you're supposed to be lame, you know? So I go, I used to build houses. Get out of here. And I go, I used to teach boxing. Oh, come on. Go on. Yeah, I don't know why you're completely impotent and rendered useless as a human being because you have a sense of humor, but they just laugh it off. But that's why I drove a truck and I taught at one of those executive boxing things, a place called Bodies in Motion. I teach my morning class in the morning, and then I would build cabinets and install in bathroom Pullmans and what else during the course of the day. And was driving up the hill one day with a cabinet in the back of my truck after my boxing class, and I was listening to K-Rock out in Los Angeles, station I eventually ended up on, and I heard Jimmy Kimmel on he did the sports.
Okay.
And he was new.
Uh-huh.
And it's a weird thing, like when you know somebody, people think you've always known them, but I didn't know Jimmy at this point at all, and he'd been doing sports. He was a radio guy. He'd moved from Tampa to Phoenix to Seattle. Like, he got fired from every job he had. And so he's doing the sports, and one of the stories is Bobby McFerrin injures himself on the ski slopes, and then he says, "What's a black dude doing on the ski slopes?" And then Michael, the maintenance man, who is a black dude, comes in, starts arguing with him, a fight breaks out, and they do that thing that morning shows do. They go, "All right, now we're having a boxing match." And they challenge each other to a boxing match, and they go, "All right, we're going to do it in a month." And it's Michael, the maintenance man, against Jimmy, the sports guy. And I'm just driving my Datsun pickup truck up Laurel Canyon thinking, wow, this would be cool. So they go, "We need trainers. And we need equipment, and we need a venue, and whatever." And I was driving my truck, and I thought, oh, man, I could train one of these guys. And I was hoping to get Michael, the maintenance man, A, because he'd been at the station for 5 years, B, because he seemed to be liked, and C, you know, he was black.
Right. Just, I mean, if you're going to have a fight, let's
doing
the
math. Probably win.
Right. You want an advantage. Let's train the winner, right?
Yeah, I'm doing the sort of Burbick Tex Cobb sort of math on that, and I'm saying I'd like, or not Burbick, what was the bleeder? Oh, Jesus. Well, I'll come up with his name in a second, but anyway.
Not Cooney.
Cooney, and then Bobbin. Oh, hell, I'll come up with it. Anyway, okay. Dwayne Bobbick.
Okay.
Bobbick, not Trevor Bourbon. All right, so Dwayne Bobbick for all the boxing aficionados out there. So I call in the station. No one picks up the phone because that's how radio works. I leave my desperate message. Nobody ever calls me back because that's how radio works. I call five more times, leave five more messages, and eventually I just show up at the station. And I can't get in. I can get into the building, but I can't get into the station. The station's locked up till 9 o'clock. I'm teaching my early morning boxing class. I'm standing out by the elevators. Some guy's going in to, like, refill the vending machine. I tell him there's a boxing trainer. I'm out in the hallway. If Michael, the maintenance man, is in there or Jimmy's in there, send one of them out. And I want to train him to box. And I just stood there by the elevators.
You're like a stalker.
I stalk. Well, if you like fat, hairy guys, like if you want to stalk fat, hairy guy, if you're not into hot chicks, like super low self-esteem, into bears, not in a nature way, but in a gay way, kind of stalker, So out 20 minutes later, out comes Jimmy. And he just comes walking down the hall, and he just looks up, and he goes, "You're a boxing trainer?" I said, "Yeah." And I said, "I'll train you to box." And he said, "When do you want to get started?" I said, "How about today?" And he said, "Fine." And that was it. And we never really trained. We just drank Snapple, and I talked to him about radio and comedy the whole time. I took some Groundlings classes. And that was about it. Next thing you know, he thought I was funny. He lost the fight. I sent him out for the second round with no mouthpiece. John Wayne Bobbitt, not Dwayne Bobbitt,
no.
But John Wayne was one of the judges.
Oh, really?
I remember Adam Sandler and... Pat O'Brien. Those were the three judges. Love
that
radio.
Is very radio, yeah.
Love awesome. Radio. One of those guys still in show business.
Sure.
And when we're done with it, he said, "Man, you're funny. Yeah, I'm going to get you in." And he busted his ass and he got me in. I just worked for free. I just did little bits and did little stuff. And I wanted to drive the van and do all sorts of crap. And
so while you still did your other gigs?
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, I wasn't making any money doing the radio. So I'm teaching my boxing. I'm, you know, delivering, making my cabinets, swinging my hammer, putting on my base and case, doing my finish work. And after about a year, Dr. Drew hears me and he starts digging my character that I'm doing, and there's an opening over on Loveline, and he calls me, and next thing you know, I'm doing Loveline, and next thing you know, they're doing a TV show, you know, MTV's doing Loveline.
Loveline was really your first real gig?
Yeah, it was my first paying gig, and then the next thing you know, we're on MTV, and then Jimmy and I are off, you know, starting the man show, and the rest is history.
And it's led you here.
It's all from Bobby McFerrin.
Mm-hmm.
And
going down maybe the man. Black Diamond.
Black, that's right.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he thought Black
Even
Diamond.
If you are
hell,
black.
I can go down there.
Yeah, that's for me. I got an earring. Why not?
The Addison Improv, he's already done two shows. And then tonight, 8 and 10, right?
That's right.
And AdamCarolla.com or Improv.com, according to Gribbs, is where you can get your tickets. We need you to sell this thing out.
Well, I think the first one is sold out, so I think folks should focus on the second. There might be a couple left for the first one, but I think the first is pretty much gone.
Okay, we'll do one more segment. How about... Can we keep you here for one more segment?
After some Mario Speedwagon.
With the great the Adam Carolla. What do we do? 12:51? 51 after 12?
Nine minutes away from the top of the hour,
All right, take it.
Kill 4 hours.
Adam Carolla's in here.
Yeah, it's my posse.
So like you said, the way you describe radio is so spot on. Nobody answers the phone because that's what you do in radio. We're not sure why Tom sits there in front of the phones.
Oh, yeah.
But he's very put out to answer. In fact, they're ringing in right now.
I had a phone screener. When I did Loveline, I had this chick there, this little snot-nosed chick. You know when chicks are hot and they're 22 and they're making $7 an hour, but they think they're your boss because they're hot and they're 22?
Well, they're used to getting everything they want, right?
Well, you know, it's a 20.
And they kind of are.
They're like, "Hey, how about you get me a coffee, champ?" And you're like, "Oh, okay, sorry, miss." And she's an intern, you know? But if it was a dude, you'd be like, "Screw you. Right. Go out." And you realize, like, you don't, like, you would never say to the hot 22-year-old, "Hey, man, go out to my car and grab that box of books and bring it upstairs." But if it was a dude, you'd be like, "Hey, douchebag, get out. Come on, let's go. Hey, run!" When the guy's heading for the elevator, right? We had this chick named, I used to call her Tara, don't call me Tara, because every time anyone screwed up her name, she'd have to... I don't care if Rod Stewart came in and said, "Oh, nice to meet you, Tara." She'd go, "It's Tara." And I'd be like, "You're never going to meet the guy again. Leave him alone." So she would correct me all the time. And one time I went into the, during the commercial, I went in the screener's room and I was like, hey, listen, we're getting way too many, like, I don't know, herpes calls or teen pregnancy calls, you know. We got to lighten up on those calls, because she was screening calls. And she was staring at the TV the whole time I was talking to her. And she was watching The Simpsons with the sound down, I guess. And I said, hey, Tara, I need you to... and then she started laughing and pointing at the TV set while I was telling her about what calls I wanted. And I went, hey, Tara, I need you to focus over here. And she goes, you're not my boss. I thought, wow. What the hell's wrong with radio?
It's everywhere.
There's no hierarchy. Like, in television, believe me, man, in TV, there are PAs, and they're grips, and they're grunts, and there's guys who, you know, interns, and there's executive, there's co-executive producers, and anyone under line producers, anyone underneath the talent is all dancing around the talent constantly. There's no, what?
Right.
You want what? No. I'm not, go get your own coffee. I'm watching TV, old man. You put some weight on, dude? Why are you uptight? Yeah. It doesn't exist in TV. There's, first off, there's food everywhere here.
Right.
You get yelled at if you want some peanut butter or some coffee or something. It's insane what radio is compared to TV.
It's a whole different world.
Yeah, well,
how about the title of producer?
Yeah, oh, there's a million.
Well, I'm saying in TV, that's very, very important.
Anytime you watch one of those TV shows and you see the 18 producers, you realize 17 of those guys did nothing, and then the one guy did something, had a horrible idea. That's all he did. It's all he did is have a horrible suggestion for the name of a show that sucked. That's all.
Boy, I'm glad you look at that segue to what I'd like to talk about. So I was watching, because it's NBC that you had... that you had to deal with, right? That you were trying to get a show on this year?
TV pilot?
Yeah. Yeah, a pilot. That's the word that I couldn't find.
Yeah.
So it's, I was
fancy
watching
Hollywood talk.
Yeah, well, I'm doing my my Thursday night office watching and all that kind of stuff, and so I tried to give Outsourced a little bit of a chance.
Yes.
And I'm like, really? Adam Carolla couldn't get his pilot picked up and they got this?
Well, this is the problem with
this is the worst
getting a pilot picked up.
Thing I've ever seen on TV, I thought.
Well, that's, see, when we did CBS, when we did a pilot for CBS and Jenna Elfman's show accidentally on purpose, they shot 10 pilots and she came in first and we came in second and I don't know who came in third and they put that on. And now we got beat out by Outsource. And what you don't realize is people do a sort of a math. Like, they go, well, if this show made it on the air,
right,
and this show's horrible, then what the hell is your pilot like?
Exactly.
Would you just put a camera on a donkey and slap it on the ass? Like,
right.
Would you just head it toward Baker, California, and just see what happened? Like, how bad could your pilot been? It's just a simple math that people do.
They well, that
do
wouldn't be a bad
everything.
Show.
I would watch that, Roving I would watch Donkey over Outsource. No, our pilot was better than Outsource, and it was better than Jenna Elfman's
but
show.
But is it like
well.
It's too much like this, or is that...
There is a... Well, first off, the people that make the decisions are a bunch of 50-year-old chicks. You have no idea. They're like postmenopausal friends of your mom's. Like, you know when you're in high school and you have your mom had her friends and you're like, what does she do? She scares me. She always has a puss on. I don't know who she is. I'm scared to talk to her, but I'm not going to say anything to her because I could somehow get into trouble. That's how they, that's what all the executives are, which is totally insane. And then they do stuff kind of like, well, your show's funny, but we don't think it fits well with 2.5 Men or How I Met Your Father or
sure.
What, Too Close for Comfort or whatever the hell's on the thing. So they do a lot of sort of mixing and matching, and a lot of it is sort of tonal, like, oh, your show's funny, but not our kind of funny, or it doesn't fit in with our schedule. And also, they just make horrible decisions. I mean, here's the process. Here's the pilot process. Each pilot cost about $2 or $3 million. They shoot 10 of them. They maybe use one. So that's the math already. You've put $20-30 million. And I'm just talking about the comedy pilots. They do more dramas that are $7-8 million. Half hour pilots, $2-3 million. They shoot 10. 8 of them blow up on the launching pad. Like, at least 5 to 8 of them are like, they don't have a chance halfway into production. You'll hear, nah, no way that's going on.
And they know, but they're still going forward with
$2 million, still going through with the shooting. And then it gets down to 2 or 3. And then it's like, well, we'll put this one on and we'll make this one a mid-season replacement. But the mid-season replacement sometimes never sees the light of day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy wheel that you spin around that just has one little thin red slice of pie in it that says bingo, and the rest is all just bankrupt, and that's what they do.
And they know that a lot of it is just garbage. They know going in, okay, how about like cavemen? The Geico, or is that Geico?
Yeah.
You knew right away.
That
would not work. It's a 30-second commercial that's mildly entertaining when it's 30 seconds. But they had to know going in, this is going to fail.
You are like one of the commanders on one of the battleships when all your guys are going over the cargo nets, getting into the Higgins craft, going to storm Normandy. And you know none of these guys are coming back. Like, two of you guys, most of you guys are going to blow up on this. It's going to be like a Tom Hanks movie. None of you even getting off the beach, but they just say, all right, that's part of the process.
Yeah.
You guys just go pile up on the beach, see if you can take out a German, machine gun nest, and we'll send the next wave in, and eventually we'll win the war and die ourselves.
David Lee Roth is.
You know what the extreme other end of this equation is the shows that must do, that they say do wildly well in the ratings, like the CBS Monday night lineup, I think, that I've never met anyone who watches.
Like CSI right. Miami, like they
do,
or something?
They do top 5 numbers every week,
yeah,
and yet I don't know anyone who watches it, so I don't understand the whole thing.
This is our generation's version of that was Walker, Texas Ranger.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't want to offend anyone in your great
you're
state
okay.
of Texas, but it was like, you know, 12 years on the air, top perennial, top 10, never met a human being that ever saw that show. And is there anyone who shows up on Monday morning to work, oh, hey, man, did you see Bones last night? Oh, man, Bones was all numbers? Who see numbers or bones? Right. Bones and numbers, man. And dude, CSI, Los Angeles. You just go, what? And then every once in a while, I was at Pebble Beach about 4 months ago. You know when you're trapped in your hotel room and you're sort of like an alcoholic with TV, like nothing's on, so you'll just drink lantern oil to try to catch a buzz. Like anything. Walker, Texas Ranger was on. I'm like, all right, I got no TiVo.
The bar's low. I
got to watch it. Yeah. And I watched an entire episode of Walker, Texas Ranger, and it was the one where Haley Joel Osment got AIDS. And it was literally a 2-part special where that 9-year-old kid from The Sixth Sense got AIDS. And Walker, like, took him to a shaman, an Indian healer, and they sat in a sweat lodge trying to smoke the HIV out of him and stuff like that. It was like, and I was just, my jaw was hanging open the whole time. And you do, like, once you go, who's watching these shows? And then at some point you go, all right, I must not know something. Like, there's something, right. Something must be going on. I can't be that far out of touch. Hell, 20 million Americans can't be wrong.
Right.
And then you watch it and you go, what? What's going on?
And once you invest 10 or 15 minutes into it, you say, okay, something better has to happen. So you, since you're invested in it, you got to keep watching.
Well, it's
and
like,
it doesn't deliver.
It's like a stock that just is plummeting and you go, I can't sell now. Okay, I got to ride it out.
Is your pilot up for a mid-season replacement, or is it?
No, it's nothing. I have a DVD at home that's worth $2 million that I can show my kids that shows a pilot where Daddy stars as a loving daddy, ironically.
Oh, good.
They'll not know that daddy. But now I have 2 of them. I have a single camera and a 4-camera from NBC and CBS. I have like $5 million worth of DVD sitting in my house if there's 2
Brilliant.
Of them.
Yeah.
You often allude to, like, others. You're hired as the creative idea, and you allude to others who need to get involved in the creative process after it's...
Yes, like that's what they do.
I just love hearing about that, just the...
Well,
you know, whatever, you've got your idea for a pilot and you've got 2 kids, but they change the name of one of them or
the
shirt color they're wearing just to feel like they're part of it or...
Well, here's
I don't know, it sounds like it drives you absolutely bananas.
Well, it would have to drive any sane human being bananas because the process...
But you got to play this game, right?
Here's how the process...
Give them this one so they can't get this one? Or
Here's how the process works. The process works is that first thing you do, you have a meeting. And then the meeting, it's all sunshine and smoke. Like, hey, man, well, at the CBS retreat last summer, you're all we talked about. We want to get in the Adam Carolla business. So your name came up 1,500 times. So you're just sitting there like, all right, yeah, we said we want to get in the Adam Carolla business. We're all such huge fans. And then they go, all right, now, could you write a treatment? And then you write the treatment. They go, oh, man, we love the treatment. And then they go, well, write. Go ahead and write the pilot. And you write the pilot. And they go, oh, we laughed our asses off. We loved every second of it. This is awesome, man. And then they go, all right.
So you're all fired up.
Yeah. We're going to give you $2 million. We're going to gear up. We're going to give you a trailer. We're going to give you an assistant. We're going to get you on the lot. We're going to get started. And then you go, all right. And then they go, hey, yeah, you know your youngest son, Todd? And you go, yeah. And they go, he's Tom now. And you go, well, we kind of like Todd. And they go, yeah, it's Tom. And you go, well, what difference? It's going to be Tom. And you go, well, see, the reason I named him Todd is because I went to school with a dude that was like that. And, you know, we're sort of, yeah, yeah, it's going to be Tom. And you go, really? So this is why you hired me? This is awesome.
Right. So now you're in an argument about
and now you feel the guy's name. Storm clouds are rolling.
10 minutes ago, I was a creative genius. Now I can't name my son Todd. He has to be named Tom. And that's basically them just sort of rubbing their stink on the show. And they just do weird. They do weird things just to sort of assert themselves. Like, it's one of those a-hole boss moves where every once in a while you go, hey, man, two Thursdays from now, can I leave 10 minutes early? And the guy goes, no. You go, hey, why? You're going to be vacationing in Mexico and we're running best of anyway. And he goes, yeah, you can't do that. And you realize he's just being the boss at that point. He's just right. Doing that. We had a thing. I had a gag that was in my CBS pilot where I was sitting around with my nanny. She's a Guatemalan. That's what we have over there in L.A. We have Guatemalan nannies. My wife was, you know, in New Jersey watching Bruce Springsteen. We're sitting around watching that show WALL-E. That Pixar movie, WALL-E. Yeah. And they have a little cockroach on WALL-E. And we're sitting around with my twins. They're 3 years old at the time. And she says, La cucaracha, because they have to learn to speak Spanish. Otherwise, they'll be unemployable in Los Angeles.
Right.
There's no way you're getting a gig just speaking English.
Right.
She's speaking Spanish to them. So I say to my Guatemalan nanny, I say, La cucaracha. I said, that's a cockroach. I said, I worked on a construction site for a million years. And every single one of those roach coaches, you know, lunch trucks, they play da 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 da. I said, that's the cucaracha song, right? She says, yeah. So it's a song about a cockroach, right? That says it's time to eat. And she's like, yeah. And I said, what are the rest of the words to that song? Because I never worked out the song except for, look, the cockroach. The cockroach. By the way, I wouldn't come running down to a lunch truck going, oh, man, I'm starving. He's singing about a cockroach. But so she starts working out the song in her head, doing the English-Spanish translation. And she goes, see, a cockroach had its legs pulled out and was buried on a hill with a mouse and a buzzard. And I said, oh, well, now I'm starving. And she was like, what are you talking about? I said, well, what the hell are you singing a song about an amputee cockroach for that says it's time to eat? How about you get one of those triangle bells and ring that instead or something? Have some old guy coming out, old miner come out and go, come on, boys, let's get them food. So we sing a song about a cockroach for lunch. And so I started laughing about it. And then I thought, well, that'd be funny because in the pilot, I'm playing a driving instructor, and I thought it'd be funny if I was driving and we had the old Mexican lady who was driving my car and I was asking her about the cockroach song. So we had to cast a 55-year-old Latin woman. And they just sent us over like seven chicks, and we looked at them all. That's just me, the show creator, the co-creator, and the showrunner. And we said, we like number three. She looks the best. She looks the most authentic. That's who we're going with. And all she had to do was sit there and pretend to drive a car in front of a green screen while I did my shtick. Went over to network. They're like, no, we don't want her. We're like, why? She doesn't do anything. She looks authentic. She's fine. No, we want the number five chick. And we're like, we didn't like that chick. And they're like, tough. You get the number five chick. So the show creator and the show star and the show producer and the showrunner all of that. Now, overridden by one of your mom's friends who said, we want the other chick, who none of us wanted to work with, who, by the way, couldn't spit out a damn line, by the
way. So now it's your decision. Do I want to fight hard for this?
Right.
Or do I say, well, this isn't
then everyone says,
something else I'll fight hard
for. Be a team player. Be a team player. Just suck it up and be a team player. Yeah. Be a team player. Now, what it does is it takes just a little bit off every time they make a bad decision.
Yeah.
And you just go, well, just suck it up. Be a team player. Don't be a troublemaker. Because this popularity contest, you want to get on their good side, so you just keep letting them erode it, and they just spread. They're just like the guy, just like one of those cheese cutters, just a weird slice.
Right.
A little slice of provolone off the just a little bit, but before you know it, there's nothing but a nub sitting there and a shell of your former sitcom.
And then do they ever show the pilot? And then they say, you know that. I didn't like that Mexican.
Yeah, that's what they'll do. Then they'll show the pilot. They go, that's not as funny as the script was.
And you
go, hey,
you're like,
bitch,
well, you
why? I wonder why.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's plug you again.
This guy's definitely in the business.
Adam Carolla at the Improv tonight. The 10 p.m. show has lots or some tickets still available.
Yes.
We think the 8 p.m. is sold out.
Eight
Maybe
sold.
Single seats. You'd have to sit by yourself with some other people at some table. But AdamCarolla.com,
for Twitter.
Improv.com.
This might seem gay, but it's for Twitter, which may also be gay.
Yeah.
You're on Twitter?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes, I is.
Are you the authentic Adam Carolla on Twitter?
I am. I think I got authenticated by Twitter.
By the way, your podcast is great.
I dream of that.
Thanks.
I am... I wanted to suggest that perhaps you could do a special series of you and Bill Simmons simply talking porn.
That's all right.
Some of my favorite stuff is when you guys analyze the porn industry because...
I kind of enjoy the movie pitch.
So, oh, yeah.
The fake movie pitch.
Keep those going. Yeah. Me and Bill get together for that.
What's,
pedophile, I believe.
Sure. Bill loves that, yeah.
All right.
Well, Bill lives just like down the street, and you just go do... I do his podcast in his living room.
Yeah, when you do his podcast, it seems a little more...
Risky?
No. When Bill does yours, it's more risky.
Yeah.
When you
I'm
go on
when he
his,
does his, it's
you're
like
on ESPN. You got to kind of watch it. We can't get in depth into.
Yeah, there's stuff. It's insane on ESPN that you can't say. Where I was saying, Bill, you can say that on primetime television.
Yeah.
Like you can say boobies or something.
It's a little homogenized.
Really,
you can just tell there's an air of it's not as loose and free as when he's on your podcast.
I don't understand it, because everyone who goes to ESPN.com is a degenerate gambler, alcoholic, who probably beats the crap out of their old lady and ignores their kids.
But it's
what
ABC,
the hell? Why do you have
Disney,
to keep it
right?
so clean?
Doesn't Disney own it?
I know, but it's insane. It's just a bunch of Roto League guys and fantasy football guys who just go get drunk and bust each other's chops every Sunday. And they love seeing guys collide at high speeds and guys getting compound fractures. Why does it have to be so clean in sports? It's insane.
It is insane. But what are you going to do, right? All right, so Adam Carolla. Go to adamcarolla.com. Go see him at the Improv tonight. And, I forgot. Here, you got to do this.
Got to have it.
Darn it.
Uh-oh.
I'm sure you've done it before. It's our wacky radio liner.
The morning shows Adam. Can't come up with this.
Yeah. We just want you to say that...
You do it on the air.
We just want you to say, I never listened to Bob and Dan on the ticket.
Yeah.
All right.
I like that change.
You know, you got to introduce yourself and stuff.
Sure.
You know how it is.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla, and I never listened to Bob and Dan on the ticket.
See, look at
that's
that.
A pro.
Wow, that's a pro.
Yeah.
Right there.
Let's see David Lee Roth pull that one off.
Adam, good to meet you, sir.
Great to meet you,
everyone,
Bob or Dan.
Everyone go see him tonight.
Doesn't matter.
More sports on the ticket.